One of the things I love about being a parent at Christmas time, at the holidays, and you know it, if you're a parent, you know it. There's part of us that one of the things we love doing is, torturing the kids. We do. You know what we do? We get a Christmas tree, right? And we put presents under the Christmas tree. But then, and the kids see the presents, right? They see the presents almost for a whole month, maybe. And they see the presents underneath the tree, and they want to go, and they want to look at them, and we say, no, 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 you have to wait, you have to wait, you have to wait, not until Christmas. And man, does that drive them crazy. And it's so much fun. You know, we do other things to torture the kids. We tell them about this omniscient being who's watching them every second of the day, and sees them when they're sleeping, and knows when they're awake, and knows if they've been bad or good, and so they had better be good, for goodness sake, or they don't get the presents, right? And we do that sort of thing to them. And then somebody maliciously a couple years ago, I don't know who this demon was, that came up with that idea of the elf on the shelf. And so not only do you have to worry about the big elf, but you also have to worry about his messengers who are watching you daily. And I saw this last week. Somebody on social media just took the logical next step. So somebody on social media this week said, I just took the logical next step. He said, what I did was I wrapped the present. I put nothing in the present. Nothing in the present at all. I just wrap the present. And then when my kid's acting bad, I just take the empty present, throw it in the fireplace. No, don't do that. Don't. That's going a bit too far. My kids are over there going, oh my goodness. I do something I often will do this, and it drives my kids crazy and sometimes my wife crazy. I like to wrap the presents, put them under the tree, and then not have a name on them. Right? So you're looking at the gifts and you're saying, well, I don't know who it's for. I don't know who it's for. And we even get, and then sometimes I forget who it's for. Right? So by Christmas morning we are, I have no idea what's going on. We just say, open this. You know. We're going to look tonight in the passage we looked at already, Isaiah chapter 9. Actually, I'm just looking at one verse and half of one verse tonight, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. And thankfully, God is not a malicious parent. And thankfully, God he doesn't withhold gifts. God doesn't burn the gifts because we've been bad. In fact, it's the opposite. Because as we've been bad, God provides a gift to us. The message tonight is called The Gift of Christmas. From Isaiah 9:6. He's not even so mean as to leave the gift untagged like I might do, but he stamps the gift with brightly colored tags. It says in Isaiah chapter 9:6, to us a child is born. To us a son is given. To us a child is born. To us a child is given. That repetition, drilling it into our heads. To us this child. The one thing I want you to take home, the one thing that we want to focus on, meditate on, and take back into our families tonight as we're celebrating this season, the one thing tonight is just this, that Christmas is a gift. That there is a gift in Christmas, and that gift is brightly labeled To us. Now, every child knows, you know, these kids up here, Matt, these are your kids, right? They can help me. They know. They know that at Christmas that there are two types of gifts. Right? There's actually two types of gifts at Christmas that you can get. You have the want gifts, and you have the need gifts. Right? The want gifts are the things that the kids put on their list. Right? You get the want gifts, and then you get the need gifts. The want gifts all generally fall into the same kind of categories. The want gifts are the toys, are the games, are the candies, are the chocolates. Those are the want gifts. The need gifts generally tend to fall into the categories of clothes, underwear, socks. How many are you getting some of those tonight? Probably you're getting some. Some want gifts and the need gifts. When you're young, the categories are very distinct, right? So when you're young, you know when you receive the want gifts. Yeah! And you also know when you receive the need gifts. Thank you. You know, the want, And the funny part is that some of these actually change through the years. So when you're younger, you might say, yay, socks. When you're older, you might say, yeah, socks, right? Like, the lines start to become blurred. And just as an aside, actually, and this has nothing to do with the rest of the message, I went out a couple months ago to one of the ministries that walks around Ottawa and helps out some of the people on the street. And I'll tell you this. If you want to help somebody at Christmas, carry some socks in your purse or in your jacket. That's the best. We give socks out, and those were the yay gifts. That's a great thing you can do. But yeah, the want gifts and the need gifts. And so we want to look at this gift of Christmas. Is this a want gift or is it a need gift? And we can go back, and Matt, thanks, you read the beginning of the passage. If you go back to the beginning of the passage, we're going to see about what sort of gift this is. It says in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2, going up into that, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given. It starts, that chapter starts out, that thought starts out, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them the light has shined. And so we are told, Isaiah is actually preaching this message to the king of Israel. And he's speaking into the spiritual darkness the land has fallen into. And he's saying that this gift of Christmas is actually it's being revealed here, is that this gift of Christmas, we might conclude at this point, is a need. It's a need gift. Those who walked in darkness have seen a great light. It's a need gift because we were in the dark and we needed a light. If you're new, welcome. If you're new and you're not normally a churchgoer, we welcome you here tonight. Darkness in the Bible signifies a number of different things. Darkness in the Bible can signify a lot of different things. In the scriptures, darkness can signify confusion. You know, it can signify fear. It can signify abandonment or betrayal. It can, you know, Psalm 88, I was reading it again today, darkness is my only friend. It can signify hardship or trials. And so the gift of Christmas, what Isaiah is preaching as he's speaking now, not to only the crowds, he's speaking to the king, and he's saying, to us a child is born, to us a son is given. There's a need gift that God has for us to deliver us out of darkness. However, I want to explain something very clearly to you, to all of us who are here, but particularly though, if you're not normally a churchgoer, I want to explain to you, darkness in the Bible is not just about the circumstances we find ourselves in. Darkness in the scriptures comes about because of our spiritual condition before God. It's not just that we go through trials, it's just that it's as human beings, we have snuffed out the light of God, and in doing so, we've been plunged into darkness. And so it's not just that the darkness is the fear or the confusion or the abandonment or the trial that you face. You may be going through those things, but the Bible connects those things to the darkness within, the spiritual condition within humankind, the spiritual condition of each one of our hearts without God. And so it's not just the darkness that we have as our circumstance outside of us, it's the darkness that we carry as our condition within us. And so we have a need. We have a need. We walk in this darkness. We grope around in this darkness because we have made it dark. We made it dark by rejecting God's light, and now we're groping around in the darkness that we caused. To this people, Israel, that the prophet Isaiah is speaking to, they were living in darkness, but they were living in darkness because they had for centuries rejected the light that God had sent to them. They had for centuries rejected the word of God, the prophetic word that had come. They'd been for centuries turning their back on, turning their eyes from, ignoring God, and they had then plunged into darkness. We live in darkness, we walk in darkness, and ultimately, unless God intervenes, each one of us is to die in darkness, utter darkness. And that's where the people are at the beginning of this chapter. To the people walking in darkness, a great light has shone. And that's the gift here. That's the gift. The Christmas here is the gift. It's a need gift. It's something we need because we walk in darkness. But look with me at verse 3. If you have a Bible, otherwise I'll just read it for you. In verse 3 it says, I'll read verse 2 and 3. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwell in the land of deep darkness, on them the light has shined. And then verse 3 says this, you have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light, and you have multiplied the nation, and you have increased the joy. And I love what it says, the people rejoiced as joyful people. Like, what a metaphor. Right? How did the people rejoice? Well, they rejoiced as, you know, people who are joyful. Isaiah, great, man. So here's the thing. Christmas is a need gift, but it is also revealed to be a want gift. It's that when God gives us what we need, which is salvation, which is redemption, which is peace with God, which is the light, His light that shines into our darkness. When we receive what we need, we get what we want. And that's the mystery of this gift of Christmas. If you just go after the things that you want, if you seek the things that you want, if you seek joy, you will not find it in that pursuit. If you seek God and what He gives you as a need gift, you get the want gift. If you seek God, He gives you what you need, and in giving you what you need, He truly gives your heart what you want. And that's the good news of this gift of Christmas. If you may be here tonight and you just came because it's Christmas time and that's what you've always done, that's what you do when you come to church, or that's what you do when you come to this season, you go and you find a church. I grew up in a family, we never talked about God. I grew up in a family, we never went to, like, I went to church a couple times. But I was not a church-going family. I was not a Christian kid. We were completely secular. One of the things we still did every Christmas Eve, though, was my mom would take us to church. And she would take us. I mean, here's the thing. We didn't want to seem too religious, right? So we'd go to a different church every year. Right? We didn't want people to start expecting things of us. Right? And so it was actually kind of cool because I got to experience a lot of different churches and how they celebrated and things like that. So I don't know where you are at tonight. I don't know where you're at tonight. I don't know why you're here or who brought you or who invited you or why you're here. But I'll tell you this. You're going through life. We all go through life like this child. We go through this life seeking the things that will bring us joy, seeking the want gifts. And God has spoken to us, and God has revealed it to us. And if you look into your heart, the Holy Spirit may be speaking to your heart right now. Those want gifts have left you empty. The packages have opened up. The ribbons are torn aside. You've played with it for some time, and now it's lunchtime, and you're bored with it. Right? If you got little kids, you know what I'm talking about. You've opened up the packages, it's left you empty. And God's telling you right now, this Christmas Eve, don't waste your life seeking after the want gifts. Find the need gift. And in finding the need gift, your joy will be increased. Your joy will be multiplied. Those who are walking in darkness have been given this great light. There's a gift of Christmas. It's labeled for us. To us, a child, we know something of this gift. This is the gift of light shining into our darkness. But what form does this gift take? And you already know the form, because I believe most of you in here, if not all of you, already know the Christmas story. We've read some of it here tonight already. The form took the form of a child. Unto us, a child is born. Now, here's the thing with a child being born. I tell you, for some people, when a child is born, I don't know if it's a want gift. And sometimes new parents are surprised to be new parents. I know families right now who would love nothing more than to have a child as their Christmas gift. But to us, a child has been born, and you might say, well, I didn't want a child. I didn't want a child. It was a need. It was a need for God to come near, to draw near, to take on our nature, to take on our life, that His life, our life might be His life, that His life might be our life, that He might be united to us as humanity so that He might save us as humanity. God coming near, God dwelling in a stinky manger, the light of the world, this child that was born to us. I was reading Martin Luther, a Christmas sermon that he gave, and that is what he talked about. Did you ever think, did you ever imagine that when you woke up this morning and came to church, it would be declared to you that you have a son? That you have a son. You have a child that has been born to you. That God has humbled himself and made himself so vulnerable as to come into your world, our world, my world, to come vulnerably, to be one of us, to put himself at the mercy of humanity. And what did we do? What did we do? Well, he grew. He grew in wisdom and knowledge of and favor with God and men. He grew and he saw our warped condition. He saw our darkness. He experienced our sin and our suffering. He was tempted in every way as we are, but yet was without sin. And what did we ultimately do to him? We could not stand his light. I often use the illustration of when you wake up in the middle of the night and your eyes are not adjusted to the light and you go to the bathroom, you click on the light and it hurts your eyes and it pains you and all you want to do is extinguish it. And that is what we have done with Christ. We sought to kill him, to extinguish him, to have nothing to do with him. But the light shines into our darkness, and our darkness, I love this, John 1, our darkness has never overwhelmed it. Our darkness has never extinguished it. And this Son of God, this child of man, came. God in the flesh grew among us. We extinguished him. We killed him. We wanted nothing to do with him. And yet God raised him from the dead. And God raised him from the dead, declaring with power that he is indeed the Son of God. This is the gift that God has given us at Christmas. John, writing in John chapter 1, writes it this way. This is actually he writes, true is the light which enlightens humanity. And now he was coming into the world. He was in the world. Jesus was in the world. God himself, God in the flesh, was in the world. And although through him the world came into being, the world did not recognize him. He stepped into his own creation, yet his own people did not receive him. He's a gift that we did not receive, but then John goes on and says this. And if you're here tonight and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, if you're still groping around in the darkness, I want you to hear this. What John writes, John chapter 1, verse 12, however, to all who did receive him, to all who did receive him, to those believing in his name, he granted full right to become children of God. See, that is the gift of Christmas. There was a YouTube video not too long ago where this daughter, she was this daughter, and she had a stepfather. She had a stepfather, and for his birthday or for one of the anniversaries, she had given him the gift. She had actually asked him, brought all the paperwork together, brought out the paperwork and said, will you adopt me? And he started weeping. Christmas is the opposite of that. Christmas is God coming to those who are fatherless, to those who are orphaned, to those who are living in darkness, that God has come and God has given a gift of himself to us, to us, to us. A child has been born to us, to us, to us. A son is given. And to all who receive him, he gives the right to become children of God. You don't have to grope around in the darkness anymore. You don't have to live as an orphan anymore. God himself has declared in the person of Jesus Christ that to all who believe him, who receive him, who believe in his name, he gives the right to be his children. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas as you are opening gifts, if that is something your family does, as you are giving and exchanging, please, this year, remember the gift of Christmas. If you get a gift you particularly like, a particularly gift that you particularly wanted, rejoice in it. Rejoice in it, but realize that there is a gift, that joy that you got from receiving that gift, it will not last. There is a need gift that God has provided that will not only meet your need of salvation, but will meet your wish of joy. Lord, I pray for those who are here tonight. Father, I thank you so much for your gift of Christmas. I thank you that you spoke these words into my life when I was a teenager. I thank you that I was groping around in the darkness. I had my desires and my wishes and my wants. And Father, I thank you so much for providing in Jesus Christ what I needed. What I needed. What I needed. I pray tonight, God, for any who are here who don't know you as their Lord and Savior, that they might see. They might see that there is a gift of love that you have for them. That you have sent your Son into this world, into their darkness, to be their light, to point them to the light. And Lord, I pray right now, if they're hearing my voice, they won't continue to harden their hearts against you. They won't continue to blind their eyes and shield their eyes from you. But Holy Spirit, I pray you'd be opening their hearts so they might receive you. That they might receive you, that they might acknowledge that they need you. They might acknowledge that they have sinned against you. And they might acknowledge their need for you and come and place their hope, their trust, and their life in you. Lord, we thank you so much for this gift of Christmas. And may we celebrate it this year truly as children of God. In your name we pray. Amen.